sorry, I did.
And thank you very much, Pastor Emmanuel. I appreciate the greeting and your welcoming me into the church. I say good morning. And you can open, please, into the book of Isaiah in chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter 28. I will try to speak very slowly and very carefully. Your Sunday school teacher was introducing himself at light speed, and I can only hear so much. It actually took me about a month to understand as to what is the accent here in Nigeria. I thought everyone just spoke English like us. And then when I start to speak, I have to explain I am speaking in English. And so Isaiah in chapter 28, I will start our reading at verse number 20. And we'll have our message from verse number 22. I ask you to pray together now with me. Our Father, as we come to hear your glorious gospel, it is indeed true that we are nothing, that all is by your grace, and all is for your glory. We ask you to speak unto us in the power of your Holy Spirit, and you give us Christ in our heart, in the truth of the gospel. Open our ears and awaken our eyes of understanding, and cause us to see Christ in his glory and in his bliss and in his peace that comes from believing. Our Father, forgive us our sins for his name's sake, and cause us with an understanding to worship you in your sovereign grace and in your glory. It's for his name's sake, Father, that we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. As the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 20, for the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself up in it. I'm in the New King James Version. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act of judgment. Now therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts. A destruction determined, even upon the whole earth. As our message here this morning is a destruction determined. And so as I bring your eyes, I trust on the Holy Spirit's power into the light and understanding of the gospel. I also want to bring you this warning that is from this text. In the preaching of the gospel, all we do is open up the Word of God, and the next portion of Scripture that will speak unto our heart is we preach that unto other people. What the Almighty God has told us Himself from the Word, as in the Bible. I appreciate the order here this morning, that you let a man speak or sing or pray. It's by only one at a time, the Scripture says. And that this morning I did not hear any thus says of the Lord that's not in the Bible. And I want to remind you, as Equa, as believers, as the children of God, the only word that God has, or anybody, in this day, is in the Bible. It's in the Scriptures. It's in the Word of God. And you don't want to hear anybody say, I've got a word from God, if it's not in the Scriptures. It's false every time. He hath spoken, and He does speak by this Bible alone. It'll be no audible voice. It'll be no dream with some new message. This is the message of Scripture that was given unto us by the apostles and by the prophets. And if we stick unto it, we shall be saved. And I want to be saved. Because the wrath of God is coming. It's coming. He is going to bring, as the text says, His destruction is even coming upon the whole earth. It is a day coming, as you, if you want to turn, or you can listen to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 8. It is a day coming as to when our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been resurrected from the dead, He shall come back. And it says in verse number 8, in flaming fire. That means that the Son of God, who left this world and His ministry was so loving, it was so kind, it was so pure, and He welcomed sinners. But when He comes back, if we're not in Christ, it's in flaming fire, taking vengeance. It's going to be a payment. It's going to be a punishment. Because the wrath of God, it must be satisfied. The anger of God. The vengeance of God against our sin must be paid in full. The Almighty God is a just and a holy God. And He will punish all sin, either in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, or in an everlasting hell, as to where the worm, it does not die, and the fire is not ever quenched. That's why I don't come here to play any games. And I don't train preachers to play any games. It's the wrath and the everlasting fury of a holy God is coming. That's why me and you, we have to be hidden in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the prophet Isaiah in chapter number 26, at the end of the chapter, said, come and hide yourself for just a moment. It is just a short moment in this life that me and you must resist temptation up until this great God comes in His wrath and He washes away all of the wicked. And that's why Paul says that me and you died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm hiding out from the wrath of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be our Lord Jesus Christ who comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obey the gospel. It's the gospel. It is to be obeyed. As you see, the gospel is not primarily a message about your obedience and my obedience. It is a message about the obedience of the Son of God and how the obedience of only one man, that one man, Christ Jesus, He has justified, He has made righteous each person who believes in Him. But as many as obey Him, that's who receives the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. And to obey the gospel is to believe it. It's to believe that Christ died for your sins, our sins. He suffered and He satisfied the wrath of God when the sins of all of God's people, all of Israel, that spiritual people, they were laid upon Him. That's why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He suffered and He died on Calvary's tree. It was not primarily because men with wicked hands took Him. The scripture says that was done according unto the predetermined plan and the counsel of God. It was always the plan A of God to satisfy His own justice and to bear His own wrath in the person of Jesus Christ upon the tree. And He was cursed for our transgressions that God might be justified in showing mercy unto sinners. is, you see, because God cannot stretch out his holy hand and actually touch me with mercy if there's no blood shedding, as the transgressions have got to be paid for. They've got to be punished in full. This is the thing, sirs, that is missing in the preaching of the gospel in our day, all over the planet, in Nigeria, in the USA. It's all God is love, and people don't know he's holy. They don't comprehend his being, his majesty. And that's why there is no fear of God in their eyes. I'm telling you, I beg you to hear me. Please, please get out of your mind that he's only love. He is love. That's why he sent his son to die, to answer his justice. In the book of Daniel, it's the king, after he heard as to what had actually happened, he wanted to deliver Daniel from the lion's den. But he gave his word. And when the Almighty God said, in the day that you eat, O Adam, you will surely die, he wasn't just talking about physical death. And Adam knew it. He was talking about the everlasting fire. And the second death, which is the lake of fire. And so man actually died spiritually as soon as he ate of that fruit that was in the garden. It was forbidden. It was a fruit, my sister, which said that the Almighty God has the right to rule over me. He is so good, and everything he does is good. But of this tree you shall not eat, or you'll surely die. And so when Adam, he violated that pact with God, that upright and just and holy relationship with God, and then all bets were off. The Almighty God from that moment had the right to absolutely punish him in an everlasting hell. And he would have, sir, except Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in the garden, as to when God caused death and he killed an animal and clothed up our nakedness and our shame, it was a picture that our Lord Jesus Christ would come and he would suffer and he would die, and I would be accepted in God's sight by believing on him. I'm covered in the sight of God. Not with my own righteousness, with your filthy rags, but with the imputed and perfect righteousness of God. And every believer, I don't care if you're a pastor or you're a prostitute who just is online, you're hearing the tape now. The moment that me and you trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a perfect and everlasting, eternal righteousness with God that can never be taken away. And we're all equally accepted because our acceptance is by faith in the Son of God. It's not by faith in me and you. It's not by faith in our preaching or I'm a missionary. Oh, God, I'm a missionary. After you read that thing, I forgot about it. Everything, half the stuff on there was like, oh yeah. My and your acceptance in the sight of God. Would you mind, sir, if I... It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And though I'm the violence of sinners, I can be in this flesh and body. Just like everybody else. That which is flesh is flesh. And I want it subdued and repressed, but it's still there. Even as I'm preaching at this moment, it's still there. My perfect acceptance in the sight of God. It's not finished. It can never be taken away. I'm happy. I got a right to go unto the throne of God. And His name is Christ. Labor, struggling, get heads and birth. Look at Christ. All eyes on Christ. Come to Christ. Obey with us. Build with Him. Put your faith in Him, please. He'll make you acceptable in the sight. That's what we preach every day.
It's the next thing, if you open, please, in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 20. This is where the rubber hits the road also. It's an overcoming sin. That's what it means to truly believe. If I only have acceptance, but I'm not overcoming my sin, I don't have acceptance. Morning, as I received a message from California, from UC Berkeley, excellent school, the number one public school in the world, and we used to go there to preach the gospel. There's an Asian man from China, he's quite brilliant, and he knows this other man is from Utah, and he has a Mormon background, but he really knows that's just ignorance. But this man, if he wrote me this morning after I had informed him that this other man named Alex, he is just trusting. He is just resting in our Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone. He's established in his soul, sir. After 2 years of torment, of turmoil, of a mental institution, his brain went off. In part, it's in his brain. I mean, all of us, we get sick, we die. And so even the brain, it can be also sick. But his spiritual problem was that he did not rest in Christ, the Son of God. He almost, this man said, tried to become a Catholic and to make himself, to work himself up into heaven. Now that's an impossibility I've ever heard one. One sin is insufficient in the sight of God to stand in His presence. Adam ate a piece of fruit. But he disobeyed the word of God. One sin is too many. And I said, oh, I'm so glad that you are finally resting in Christ and he's actually trusting in Christ too. Because that brings us acceptance to fight with our sins by the help and the power of God. Ain't that right? This morning in the Sunday school class, it was the perfect subject. Our private relationship with God. That's the entirety of it. It's all private. That's the essence of it. When nobody sees in the secret of the heart, am I trusting in Jesus and is he giving me power to live the Christian life? Everything else is the outflow of that, or it's fake and phony. You hear me? If I'm doing works and I'm preaching, but there's no relationship with God, there's hypocrisy in my closet, I'll borrow from him. It's not a show for sinful man or for righteous man. It is a relationship and it's worship of the Almighty God. And the only way that he can give it is unto a poor sinner by his free grace, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us holy on the inside, and then he works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this filthy flesh. I hate it. And so do you. Paul said, oh, wretched man. My brother Joel said, I hate myself and repent. In dust and ashes. His Isaiah is a holier man than us, and he cried out, it's a woe of me. Why, Isaiah? I've seen God. I'm not in fornication. I've just seen his standard and his beauty and his worthiness, and I'm ashamed and I repent in dust and ashes. It's a holy God. He gives holiness.
I'm picking on you, young preacher.
And I want you to hear this. I don't care if you get a certificate on your wall. You ain't got to look at Jesus. Not a man in the book had anyone. He's got to get God inside your heart by faith in Christ. That's all that matters. And then speak him unto the people. Nothing else matters.
Preaching is not a plaything.
The everlasting wrath of God is coming. The destruction is coming. And there's a holy, sweet life for every believer.
It is painful. What the scripture says here in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 20 and verse number 1. It's our experience as a child of God, and it's also our hope. I'm going to try to slow down and calm down and make sure I'm heard. The scripture says, as to when you go to battle against your enemy, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It really was a shock. I had been a Christian about 18 months, and it's like I came under Christ and I'm overcoming. I'm getting stronger and stronger and I'm preaching. And then all of a sudden,
A temptation came upon me, sir, and I realized I would squander my eternal soul in everlasting hell just to enjoy my sin for a season with everything I know inside my head. That's how powerful the lust of temptation is. Esau, he sold his everlasting soul for a pot of beans. Just a meal. What good is this birthright? I'm hungry. That's the flesh. That's why men, they hear the gospel and they couldn't care less, because they've got to have their sin. I was also on the bus here from Fort Harcourt, and at the beginning of the journey, it had been raining, so the roads were slick. And the driver, you know the drivers, wild, untamed, ungodly, absolutely lawless. He just speeded along, and he didn't notice that the traffic in this lane had come to a stop with a big hole in the road. And it just stopped. And by the time he looked up, I'm in the front seat, it was small angle here. If he hits his brake, it won't help us. It's going to be an accident. But it's a small lane here, and I'm in the front seat, and thank God I'm ready to die. Not anxious at all. In the grace of Christ, it had lost its state. But he swerved, and it's a man that's on a motorcycle. And on the back is a young person. It's a good story. He bit that bus van just in between the person and the bike. Looked up, we slammed through, and he pulled off and had to catch his breath. It was so close to home. And so there's a man in the back. And he is a false prophet. But he said one truth. And that's the first time I've been in the bus that everybody started to sing and to praise God and to say amen and hallelujah. And he was saying some things were true, Pastor. But the end of his message is, if you have Jesus, you're out of the business, and you won't get sick, and you make a lot of money. And I turned around and said, but Paul had his head chopped off in prison, sir. That's not the gospel. You come, if I come and you come unto our Lord Jesus Christ, he will save us from our sin. That's his mission. Not our money, folks. If he pleases to, sure. If not, oh well. There's only one thing that actually me and you want in this life that's above everything. It's to obey God. That's what he wanted. It was to do his Father's will. He came to die and to suffer, and to be hated, and to have the beard plucked out, and to be smitten, and to be spat upon, and to minister all day unto ungrateful souls. Were there 10 others? And so what happened? There's only one that came back unto give God's soul. It's the woman. Thank you.
get half the stuff. My house will get better. I won't get sick. I won't get cancer. My business will grow. Faith this generation. Egocentric. Serving themselves in the name of God. As the master of the universe. In the magic tool. A tool for self-advertising. That's sin. That's sin. But the child of God wants holy and obedient life, even still. One day is this. That's our heart, God. It's a new heart. Even if I'm thinking, God, just let me obey, God. Number one is obedience. I want to do His will. I want to walk with Him. I want to commune with Him. I want to be with Him. I'll quit preaching. Just to do it. That's what it was. And we're in a war. It's a war. It says that when you go out, not if, but when you go out to battle against your enemies, the flesh, the sinful nature, lust, and the devil himself, this whole world conspiring to turn us away from Christ. It accepts our hypocrisy because it eases its own conscience. They love to see Christians not act like it. And you see horses. It's no small fight. My free will is not strong enough in this battle. I don't have enough willpower. I did play sports, sir. And it's the willpower. If you hurt, you go play. If he's big, you hit him harder. It's you got to stir it up. But in the gospel, you're fighting the devil himself and your own nature. And your willpower will not last. And us older heads, if you got some gray on you, it should know it. I'm not strong enough. That's why I need faith in Jesus Christ and a confession of my sin, of my temptation, of my lust. Of Lord God, if you don't stop me, I will do it again, even as I'm praying here now, asking mercy. It'll prove your power. Wow. Are you a sinner in this flesh? Is there absolutely no good thing? That's who's heard the gospel. It's the law of the leper is this. If the leper is completely leprous, from head all the way down into his feet. It's Leviticus chapter number 13. You shall pronounce him clean. The only way to get forgiveness is as a sinner. And the only way to get power over sin is if I'm totally helpless. And believing that the eternal God is on my side through faith in Jesus Christ. You hearing me? Let's get back in our text. And I want to make sure you understand this message and my teaching. It is horses and chariots more numerous than you, stronger than us. The enemy that me and you are at war with is stronger than all of us combined. Me and you are helpless in this battle. But God says, do not be afraid of them. It's the hope that me and you need is in Christ.
Even though I'm so weak and small, he is mighty to save, and he keeps his promises. And what he showed me many years ago as a younger man, after I began to see I'm still in this flesh until I die, is that since you've been justified by faith, you are righteous. Now I'm going to send you the help of the Holy Spirit, and he is going to overcome the sin that's in your body, and he will make us live uprightly. It's not a confidence in self, it's in God. But it's a confidence that's sure, so me and you, we don't have to be afraid of ourselves trusting in Jesus Christ. Or be scared of the devil. Look what it says. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And I'm almost done. But please hear me and understand. That the Bible says that the child of God is outmatched. And we're outmatched because what we were is still in sight. That's as to why we sin. It is our own nature that's still here that lusts, hates, lies, is envious. It can be very good in the church house. It can look awfully in polished. But what goes on within and in sickness is abominable. But since our Lord Jesus has taken away all of our sin, thought and word and deed, and he bore the curse as the arrow of God struck his heart and tormented his soul. He was punished in full. And so, I mean, you have died. I've been crucified to Christ. He's not holding my sin against me. Even when I fall, he's a father in his chastening love. And since he sees us as righteous, by faith in Jesus Christ, he treats us as righteous. He sends the power of the Holy Spirit. And so now, as me and you are in this battle with our sin, it's not with an angry God. It's with a loving, heavenly Father supplying the grace and the help and the strength that my poor and pitiful soul needs as me and you trust in our Lord Jesus Christ in our helpless but completely righteous state. Just as sure as he paid our sin at the cross, is as sure that he could be resurrected and put it inside of us. Amen. Thank you. I can live with God. All my mistakes, trials, if I didn't sin in a year, that's not enough. This is unto the grave. There are places I never want to ever turn back to again in our life. There's pride, hypocrisy, envy, Mr. Self-Seeking. I can think, man, I'm somebody. It's the more blessed me and you are, is the more humble me and you ought to be. If I'm an American and I'm blessed with things, I should be the humblest person in Nigeria. And I'm still working on that with God. Things just come out of your mouth. Is your attitude as to which you're serving? I'm at the hotel yesterday, and the audacity, they didn't have my reservation, and the prize will serve. And now, God, humble yourself and be thankful, and not outside in the bush and half crazy and unsaved. The more you get, the more humble that we need you are. We thank God. That's how I want to live my life.
Don't you want to be like Christ? Isn't that as to what's in your heart? It's my last text. If you look again in Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 22, I'll just read the text and I'll be done. You've heard the gospel. Now, therefore, do not be marvelous. Isaiah chapter number 28, verse number 22. Don't mock God. Don't say it's impossible. My sin is just too strong. Don't rely upon your own righteousness as if you're good enough. Lest your bonds be made strong, it's going to hurt you. And Isaiah says, as a real prophet, for I have heard from the Lord God of armies. This is the true gospel. This is what's going to happen. This is an absolute. I became a missionary. One is on my knees. I wept at the compassion of God. And then two, I got off my knees and looked out my window. And I wept. And still do. These people are on their way for destruction. And we got to do something. With your life, we got to do something. He uses men and women to save his people. If it's in your heart, you can't just watch the world perish. A destruction is determined, is even upon the fuller. Please put your faith in Christ. I beseech you, trust him. Look to him as a sinner. He'll forgive you, and he'll clean you up. And he'll give us a brand new life with power and strength and joy and sincerity and holiness and uprightness and a clean conscience. And a clean character, an internal peace. He'll be good to you. Even if the outside world is all broken up, he'll be good inside your soul. And he'll bring you to paradise. That's for everlasting bliss. With no more sin, trials, or temptation. It's coming for certain. But on that day when he returns, he's going to destroy, and he's going to punish everybody that's not in Christ. There is no hiding place anywhere on earth except in Christ. by faith.